2 on Friday night. Winds will be out of the west, 10 to 15. Saturday, welcome to your weekend. Sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, mostly clear with low around 47. Sunday, sunny with a high near 77. Sunday night, mostly clear with low around 49. And then Monday, sunny with a high near 76. Monday night, mostly clear with low around 49. So if you like the number 7, you might want to go get that lottery ticket, because there's a lot of 70s here. 70s and 80s. Looks like it's going to be a big, beautiful weekend here on the Palouse and in the Wild Clearwater Country. And on that segue, I'd like to welcome you to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Today's guest is going to be Stephanie C. of the Buffalo Field Campaign. So Stephanie is going to be joining us here in a few minutes via telephone. Certainly would like to not only welcome you to the Wild Clearwater Country Show here on KRFP Moscow, but also would like to remind our listeners that the views expressed on the Wild Clearwater Country Show are not necessarily those of Radio Free Moscow, Friends of the Clearwater, or any other organization. So let's take a short music break, and you're not going to want to touch that dial. We've got a really important phone call coming in from employees or members of the Buffalo Field Campaign on the current hazing and slaughter operations of wild bison in and around Yellowstone National Park, so you're not going to want to miss that. This is KRFP Moscow.
In the steam, my baby's leaving town on the 219. I said, hey, I don't know what to do. I will remember you. Hey, I don't know what to do. My baby's leaving town on the 219. Central Station. I treated her bad, I treated her mean. Baby leaving town on the 219. I said, hey, I will remember. Hey, I don't know what to do. Hey, I don't know what to do. My baby leaving town on the 219. Is that a raindrop or a tear in your eye?
you're drying your nails or waving goodbye. Recognize yourself on Heart Attack and Vine.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. I'd like to welcome Stephanie C. of the Buffalo Field Campaign to the Wild Clearwater Country Show today on KRFP Moscow. Of course, the mission of the Buffalo Field Campaign is to stop the slaughter of Yellowstone's wild buffalo herd, protect the natural habitat of wild free-roaming buffalo and native wildlife, and to work with people of all nations to honor the sacredness of the wild buffalo. Stephanie, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be with us here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much, Brett, for having me on today.
Well, you are very welcome, and let's just jump right into this here. Certainly, some people or many people might not be aware of the situation in and around Yellowstone National Park concerning wild bison. And maybe we could start off, if you could kind of lay out the overlying situation for our listeners, and then kind of just tell us a little bit about the Buffalo Field Campaign as to when did it get started.
Okay, yeah, and I would also say there's probably a lot of people that don't know that there's still wild buffalo in existence, but there are, and they are the so-called Yellowstone herds, America's last continuously wild population. They are, as people know, I'm sure, a migratory species. Like other wildlife, they migrate with the changing seasons and availability of forage. And Yellowstone happens to lie on a very high plateau, and so the winters there are really severe. The snow gets extremely deep, and most grass eaters have a really hard time digging down through all that snow and have to seek lower elevation habitat. And the buffalo are no exception to that. Yet when they migrate, the animals cross out of the boundaries of Yellowstone National Park. They're not it's ecologically meaningless boundaries. And so as the migrations occur, the bison step into Montana. The state of Montana has pretty much a zero-tolerance policy against wild bison. They are a cattle industry state, or boast that that's what they are. And they do fear the competition between bison and cattle, bison being the native herbivores on this continent. They've also come up with this disease scare that actually was introduced by cattle to wildlife. That's a disease called brucellosis. And while bison around Yellowstone do carry it, as do the elk, there's never, ever been a documented case of wild bison transmitting it back to the cows they got it from. However, the cattle industry has this fear of it theoretically potentially happening. And so they have a very aggressive, intolerant management plan against wild buffalo. And in fact, there is, since the year 2000, there's been a joint state and federal agency management plan called the Interagency Bison Management Plan, designed by livestock interests and set up to basically harm and kill and keep wild bison in the boundaries of Yellowstone National Park. Back in the winter of 1996-97, had a pretty good winter, and then temperatures got a little bit warm, and some of the snow melted, and then it got cold again, and that melting snow froze solid, like the ground was covered in cement. And bison, who can do a pretty good job of cratering, using that big hump muscle and that big head to shovel crater snow aside, were hitting ice. They had to leave. And they left by the hundreds and hundreds. And the state of Montana ended up killing over 1,084 bison. And a gentleman named Mike Meese, a videographer and activist, who's doing some other environmental work, had learned about what was going on and went to document what was happening. And he knew he needed to tell some First Nations people about what was going on, what Montana was doing to the buffalo. And he got in touch with Rosalie Little Thunder, who is a Lakota elder, and together they decided that we have a presence out there. We have to show people what's going on. We have to stand in defense of these buffalo. And Buffalo Field Campaign was born out of that. And so for the past 16 years, we've been on the front lines with the buffalo, monitoring their migration, standing with them on the ground they choose to be on. We document all actions made against them by state and federal agencies, and we share our video footage, our photographs, our experiences, our stories, our firsthand encounters with the buffalo, with the media, with the public, with everyone, so that we can help raise more awareness and build a strong constituency to stop what Montana is driving as far as managing these bison. The interesting thing is the state's livestock agency, the Montana Department of Livestock, which has absolutely no business dealing with wildlife at all, has authority over wild bison when they migrate into Montana. It's a pretty sticky mess, and there's been over 4,000 bison that have been killed since the year 2000, all senseless, all unjustifiable, and yet Montana cattle interests continue to hold a strong power in this state.
Now, Stephanie, I mean, just a mind-blowing number. Over 4,000 wild buffalo or wild bison have been slaughtered within the past 10 to 16 years. So just in and of it itself, it's just so eye-popping and startling and you know, just outrageous. One thing that I want to make clear to our listeners is that, and you can kind of verify this for me, is that when these wild bison migrate to lower elevations during the winter and they leave the Yellowstone National Park boundary, and so they cross that imaginary political line, when they enter the state of Montana, are these bison, wild bison, are they or are they not on national forests, which are public lands?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, Gallatin National Forest surrounds a good chunk of Yellowstone National Park to the west and to the north, and the bulk of the landscape that the bison are accessing in Montana is public land, Gallatin National Forest. There is some private land, and some of it's buffalo-friendly, and they're not even allowed to be there right now.
All right, Stephanie. I just wanted to verify that. I mean, just, you know, so much for public land serving the public good and native wildlife. Now, for those of us that are just kind of tuning in, want to welcome you to the Wild Clearwater Country Show here on KRFP Moscow. Stephanie C. of the Buffalo Field Campaign is joining us on the telephone here, calling in from Montana. Now, Stephanie, in January of 2013, a judge ruled that wild bison could freely roam in the Gardner Basin of Montana. What is the significance of this ruling? Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Well, and you know, as slow as this whole issue is moving, that was a bit of good news, and we don't get that too often when it comes to the buffalo. But the agencies, the state and federal agencies, had chosen the plan is an adaptive plan. It's supposed to change with new information, with the changing landscape. It's supposed to adapt to the evolving world. And it had been stuck in a rut, just hazing, capture, slaughter, hazing, capture, slaughter. And you know, people are like, this is ridiculous. We're hunting wild bison now too, which, you know, that's another issue. But so the agencies finally put forth some plan to allow bison some room to roam some of the time on some portions of the Gardner Basin. This isn't the dream elixir here for the buffalo at all, but it has afforded them just a little bit more room without being immediately hazed back into Yellowstone National Park, chased into Yellowstone National Park. The funny part of it is there are state and treaty hunts that occur from as early as September all the way to the beginning of April. And the Gardner Basin is a pretty popular place to hunt buffalo. And so, you know, on the one hand, opening up this habitat for buffalo has really increased hunting pressure. Instead of the agencies hazing bison into the park, you have hunters waiting literally, literally at the boundary of Yellowstone National Park, gunning them down. And that's a six-month-long hunt. And some of the buffalo were afforded about 75,000 additional acres. And some of that land, for the time that they're allowed to use it, is too high elevation. It's habitat that they won't access anyway. It's a temporary thing. The buffalo would still get hazed back by the beginning of May, hazed to Yellowstone. I say back, and I want to take that word away from there, because they are not park buffalo. They are not Yellowstone buffalo. They are America's last wild buffalo, and everywhere they roam is their native habitat. So the Gardner Basin deal, it was good news, because it did alleviate a little bit of pressure as far as hazing, which would otherwise happen every single day. But on the other hand, you know, it's a little bit of lip service. It's kind of like this dangling carrot in front of the hungry horse. And so, I don't know. We'll take the good, and we keep pressing for more. But, yeah, it was kind of amazing. It was the first win that we had gotten for the buffalo, and so that was really exciting. And not to, the devil's in the details, so it's kind of one of those things that's hard to talk about with all positive light, though it is a really positive thing that a Montana judge basically said, yeah, let's do this. So we're going to keep pressing for more, but in the meantime, there wasn't much hazing that went on this spring, or this winter, for that matter.
Now, Stephanie, so at some time late this winter or spring, the Montana-Wyoming Tribal Council leaders had passed a resolution urging protection for wild bison in and around Yellowstone. Did this have anything to do, was this connected to the Gardner Basin, or was it much larger than that? Tell us a little bit about this resolution.
It's much larger than that. They're speaking for the entire population that migrates both out of the west and to the north. And the Montana-Wyoming Tribal Leaders Council put forth almost the exact same resolution last year. And they also, you know, I mean, they're calling for an end to the harassment and slaughter of these gentle giants, as well-deserved needs to happen. And they're also alerting the state of Montana and the federal government to their treaty obligations, their trust responsibilities and treaty obligations to the many First Nations that hold treaty rights in the Yellowstone, Greater Yellowstone area. It's a very exciting document, and it's something that should hold an awful lot of power. As of now, the state and federal agencies that are responsible for harming the buffalo have not paid much attention to it, and they have continued to carry forth with their misguided mismanagement schemes.
That's very interesting. Now, certainly, the Buffalo Field Campaign was really active this winter and spring in trying to alert the public to what can be labeled as a barrage of anti-wild bison bills in the Montana legislature this year. Can you cover some of these bills and what has become of them?
Well, for the most part, all but one died. All but one of them was either killed in committee or in the legislature, or vetoed by our new governor, Steve Bullock. These bills were insane. Some of them wanted to have the county commission give prior approval before wild bison stepped into that county. And another one, the one that did pass, which is unfortunate, was for the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, who manages our wildlife and parks in the state, can now let hunters know where buffalo are during hunting season. That was one that passed, and we're not sure why, but the governor did sign that into law. But there was this whole slew of other bills. One even tried to redefine wild bison to say, basically, if anything, any human, anything had ever gone on with that population, then it could no longer be considered wild. Basically, removing wild from bison permanently. So, I mean, the list went on. There, you know, we even had this one Senator Brendan from Scobie, who has always kind of been in a thorn in the side when it comes to buffalo, and he compared restoring wild bison to restoring dinosaurs on the landscape. I mean, it was just, there's just a lot of jerks in the legislature, and unfortunately, it's heavily influenced by the livestock industry. I mean, the government of Montana was set up by a cattleman, and they're still running the legislature, and these bills go to show what the cattleman sentiment is about wild buffalo. Lots of just insane stuff. And thankfully, I mean, there's, I think, all told 12 bills that we were fighting, and only one of them became law. And that one, as bad as it is, you know, I mean, there's small areas where the buffalo are hunted, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel. So having Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks say, yeah, there's buffalo over there, I mean, they're already doing that anyway. People are calling up their friends that have tags, and so, I mean, it could have been worse.
Now, Stephanie, maybe you I would expand on that a little bit. So we've already established the fact that Native American tribes or sovereign nations have a hunting season for wild bison for 6 months out of the year, I think you said, maybe even a little bit longer. But what about for the non-Native American people that can go out and hunt? So there is a hunting season, and how long is the hunting season, and what do the quotas look like?
Wow, well, it's really complex because you have the state hunt, which you get a state tag like you would for deer or elk in Montana, and that hunt runs from November 15th through February 15th, and currently there are four tribes hunting under treaty rights, and each tribe sets their own regulations, sets their own quota, sets their own season, and so all told, the combined hunting pressure on buffalo begins as early as September with the Confederated Salish Kootenai hunt and ends as late March and April, as goes with the Nez Perce, the Umatilla, and the Shoshone-Bannock. And they each set their own quotas. Their own game wardens are in the field, and so there's no there's no discussions that we are aware of between the state and the tribes, or between the tribes to say, okay, we're going to take this many buffalo this year. So that's kind of I'm not sure how that works, but it's each tribe has their own set of regs, their own way of doing things. And, you know, I mean, as much as we appreciate and honor the relationship between First Nations and the buffalo, it is really critical to understand that this is an ecologically extinct animal. Wild bison should be protected under the Endangered Species Act. The politics are preventing that from happening. And the added hunting pressure, it's a way for the state of Montana and Yellowstone National Park to kind of cleanse their hands of the bloodshed in the winter months. They're getting hunters to do their dirty work. And in fact, Yellowstone had been planning to capture in the Gardner Basin this winter. They wanted to kill up to 400 buffalo, 400 females, 50 bulls, and they kept holding off so long as they knew tribes were hunting. So it was like, okay, you're either we're going to kill them or you're going to. So it's a kill 'em game, and the buffalo are not going to be able to survive this. And there are many other tribes that hold treaty rights in the Yellowstone area, and if every one of them decided to exercise their treaty rights and set their own quotas, there would be no more buffalo left. I mean, I don't know how to express it. I mean, we need buffalo all over the landscape. The hunting of them is being—it's used by the state of Montana as a way to kill buffalo without them having to do anything. And we would also say to the tribes that hold these treaty rights that the other activities that are going on sanctioned by this plan, this interagency bison management plan, the incessant hazing every spring of hundreds of buffalo, removing them off of federally unclaimed, undeveloped lands where the tribes can hunt, we would say that's a violation of treaty rights because the state and federal agencies are forcing wild buffalo off of places where tribes would otherwise be able to access them. And just the constant killing, I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of buffalo, and again, it's an ecologically extinct animal, and all of these pressures combined are not going to help them reach and fulfill their evolutionary potential. They may not be there for our future if we can't get a grip on our own actions and maybe come up with a human management plan, you know, and open the door for these wild buffalo to roam.
So joining us today is Stephanie C. of the Buffalo Field Campaign. The mission of the Buffalo Field Campaign is to stop the slaughter of Yellowstone's wild buffalo herd, protect the natural habitat of wild free-roaming buffalo and native wildlife, and to work with people of all nations to honor the sacredness of the wild buffalo. So Stephanie, with regard to helicopter hazing of wild helicopter hazing of wild bison in and around Yellowstone National Park, let's just kind of paint that picture a little bit more of what does that look like on the ground when it occurs each spring?
A war zone. It looks like a war zone. My father was in Vietnam, and I can only imagine a fraction of what he must have felt. But that helicopter, you know, I mean, you kind of know the day it's coming. There's a buildup. People are talking. We know it's going to happen. And you're out there in the field first thing in the morning waiting for all these agencies to arrive, going out to be with the buffalo, and everything is just beautiful. Little babies are playing with each other. They're napping. Moms are grazing. Young bulls are sparring. I mean, birds are singing. Little spring peepers are chirping. It's just perfect. And then you hear the blades in the distance, the chopping, and it gets louder, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's coming to Horse Butte. And Horse Butte has a little neighborhood in it that is buffalo-friendly, and the helicopter doesn't care. The helicopter flies through the housing area, over the tops of houses, less than 20 feet, and starts to harass all of these buffalo off of a landscape where they are welcome and these agents are not. And the helicopter, it's a monster. I mean, and then when you see the buffalo looking up at this thing that they don't know what in the world this is, but they've got to get away from it. And then you see these huge buffalo stampeding, fleeing away, and all these little tiny, tiny baby buffalo doing everything that they can to try to keep up with their moms, and the herd gets a little crazy. I mean, it's chaos and pandemonium. It's terrible. And the helicopter pushes the buffalo through. I mean, the horsemen are included with this. So helicopter aids the horsemen. So you have all these cowboys chasing wild bison while this helicopter is flying, dipping down below tree line, dipping down in the water line, dipping down like it's going to land on these buffalo's backs. It's a livestock industry tool. They do the same thing with wild horses when they're rounding up wild horses for slaughter because, you know, why? Cows. It's all about cows. All of this maltreatment of wildlife is about livestock. And, yeah, I mean, we've seen so many terrible things. In the chaos, mothers and calves can tend to get separated. Sometimes babies get run over by the herd because everyone's going crazy. The buffalo get run into terrible situations, like lots of deadfall, mucky situations, and they run for miles and miles and miles off of buffalo-friendly land, off of cattle-free public land, off of places where there will never, ever, ever be cows. It's insane, and you're wondering, where in the hell is Superman? You know, why? How can this possibly be happening? And you document, and you document, and you get your footage out there, and it's, somebody help us. This is not happening. And for 10 years, I've been out there on the front lines seeing this, and I always feel like I've come home from a war when it's over. You never get used to it. It never becomes commonplace. It is one of the most terrible, horrendous things, and it's for what? And even if there were cows anywhere around, so what? They're the invasive species, you know? It's hard to put into words. And you can look on our website. We have a couple of video clips up. And just the sound of the blades in the footage, you can just imagine. I mean, this is home for the threatened grizzly bear, not to mention, obviously, last wild buffalo, wolves, sandhill cranes, golden and bald eagles, wolverines, bighorn sheep. There are lots of wildlife species that are adversely impacted by this. Even when the helicopter is so unnecessary, because they accomplish the same thing without it. And, it should all cease, but the helicopter is just like this vulgar, added, monstrous tool, and I think it's just because they have a lot of fun doing it. The more you see these guys, the more you know this is fun for them, getting to chase around wild buffalo, getting to dress up and play cowboy, fly a helicopter over the public lands into Yellowstone National Park, inside Yellowstone National Park. How is it that we've gotten to the point where Montana livestock interests are calling the shots on federal lands, our world's first national park, harassing America's last wild buffalo? It is insane. And there's injuries, there's harm that is caused to these animals. It's terrible. And I would suggest for anyone that hasn't seen it or isn't familiar with it to go to buffalofieldcampaign.org and look at these videos and see what they're doing to these gentle giants. It's unforgivable.
Now, Stephanie, the Buffalo Field Campaign has started a podcast of some sorts. So certainly you have YouTube. So again, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. Certainly I have, for better or worse, have seen a number of videos pertaining to the hazing of wild bison back into Yellowstone National Park, and certainly they're very upsetting to watch. What about this podcast here? How often are you doing the podcast, and is, I guess it's available on your website?
It's brand new, and you can just look up the Buffalo Field Campaign Show. We just started doing it this season, and it's really cool because it's a former volunteer, Kim Akerson, who has been doing a lot of stuff with media, and he's got this group called Eco Jive, and he does some radio programs through it, and then he was like, you know what, why don't we start doing a BFC podcast? And so, you know, one of us talks to him on the phone every other week, and we talk about an issue or two, and yeah, it's pretty exciting. So it's kind of our own little thing that was created by a BFC volunteer. We do them every other week. And, yeah, we're hoping that as the summer is quiet, that we'll still have interesting. We're going to probably just dive into more issue-related stuff. And then, you know, as we're active during the field season, we're talking about what's been going on this week. What's been going on, what's happening now, what can people do about it, and you can get it sent to your iTunes, you can get it in various ways, but if you just do a Google search, the Buffalo Field Campaign Show, you can subscribe.
Now, for those of you that are joining us here today on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, Stephanie C. is joining us of the Buffalo Field Campaign. She's calling in from Montana. She's been very involved, obviously, with the group in trying to stop the slaughter of Yellowstone's wild buffalo herd and to protect the native wildlife and habitat that surrounds the park. Recently, I think maybe about a week or two ago, Stephanie, I saw an article that said three or four buffalo were found dead in the Gardner Basin. Can you tell us a little bit about that investigation? I didn't get led to believe that it has anything to do with poaching, but possible disease?
Well, that was my first thought when we heard about it, was that, oh my God, someone went crazy and just killed buffalo. But the interesting thing that had happened is there are two ranchers that raise cows in the Gardner Basin. One of them is buffalo friendly. One of them is not. And he is not wolf friendly. You know, he's just that kind of guy. He recently brought in about 30 domestic sheep. The Gardner Basin is rich with wildlife, bighorns. There's a nice, healthy bighorn population in the Gardner Basin. Everyone knows bighorns and domestic sheep, fatal combination. Domestic sheep carry diseases that kill bighorn. What we didn't know, that they also carry diseases that can kill bison. Malignant Carderal fever, MCF is the abbreviated term for it, and it's deadly to bison and to all even-toed ungulates. So there, another organization, Gallatin Wildlife Association, had one of their members found a couple of dead buffalo just in their yard near the Yellowstone River, I mean, pretty much in the river. And immediately, because those sheep had been brought into the area, they contacted folks to see if they could get an investigation, get some tissue samples, you know, and so all the red flags were raised. We're like, oh my God, this rancher is like really got it in for the buffalo. He already killed a wolf because, you know, a wolf was blamed for killing some of his sheep. Wouldn't you? If you were a wolf, they're tasty little snacks. Anyway, so Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks conducted an investigation, and their test results showed that the buffalo did not die from this domestic sheep disease. In fact, it seems that they may have been swept downriver in spring flooding and in spring runoff. They had some bruises and contusions to other parts of their bodies that the scientists said happened before they died. So there's a mystery still as to how those buffalo did die. But the threat remains that this rancher, Bill Hoppe, brought domestic sheep into the Gardner Basin where wild buffalo, where bighorn sheep, and wolves live. And, you know, it's no big secret that domestic sheep are a big problem for wildlife. So we're still working on that, and we're going to hopefully try to get some pressure on the Department of Livestock to get that. You know, here's the Department of Livestock that's so worried about the brucellosis, which, you know, there's never been a transmission. Long before there was any harassment of buffalo, there's never been a transmission. And then they go and allow domestic sheep to be brought into an area where there are very vulnerable wildlife species. That doesn't work for us. That doesn't work for the American people, I don't think, either. So we're going to continue to apply some pressure to try to get those sheep removed from the basin. Because that could still happen. To my knowledge, those sheep haven't been tested. So it's still possible that they may be harboring a disease that can kill bison as well as bighorns and as well as, you know, being just a wrong animal to have where wolves are.
Now, Stephanie, we have a few minutes here left in the program, and Buffalo Field Campaign, certainly the road show. Tell us a little bit about some of the other outreach work or programming that the Buffalo Field Campaign has going on, and then also in terms of volunteer opportunities, internship opportunities, donation or membership opportunities. Why don't you kind of just spell all that out for our listeners?
Yeah, well, summertime is our time for outreach. Once things are quiet in the field, we switch our gears to telling people what is going on. And exciting this year, we used to table inside Yellowstone every summer, but it got a little interesting because the park makes you put up this sign that says, you know, not all these views aren't expressed by us, and we don't endorse, you know. And so some people just are a little, I don't know if I want to go visit those people. What are they talking about? But this year, Mike came up with a really cool thing. We have opened a free buffalo museum in the town of West Yellowstone. It's right there on the corner of U.S. Highway 20 and Highway 191. So it's right there as you're coming into the western gateway community of Yellowstone National Park. And it's going to take you on an incredible journey of the evolutionary, the biological, behavioral, historical, cultural lives of the buffalo, and then bring you into learning about what is happening to them today and why and what people can do about it. So if there's anyone listening that is going to be taking a trip to Yellowstone, please come to West Yellowstone and visit our free Buffalo Museum. There'll be some really cool people running the show. There'll be video footage shown. Get T-shirts, learn about the buffalo, talk about the buffalo. So that's a new and exciting thing for us that is beginning this summer. It's open now. So if you're around, check it out. And then also Mike is organizing the road show. We do a West Coast road show every year. Mike and our really dear friend Good Shield, who is an incredible Native musician and activist, and as well as Phoenix After Buffalo, who is also an incredible musician and activist. They travel with Mike and play music. Mike tells the stories, and we do a lot of outreach that way. We'll be putting the notices out for that coming up in the next, probably within a month or so, once Mike's got more of his dates organized. So just check in with us, and we'll keep you posted on that. But, yeah, volunteer opportunities, you know, contributing. There's so many things you can do to help the buffalo. Our busiest time and our biggest time when we need volunteers is in the spring. But our field season runs from November through May, and spring is definitely the time when we need people the most. We provide room, board, gear, and training. You just got to get there. All of our, you know, more than 75% of our funding comes from individual donors. So every person counts. Every $5 donation goes a really long way. And you can donate online, secure online server, or, you know, send us a check. And we also have a wish list for items. And if you're doing any spring cleaning, you might want to check our wish list. There might be some stuff you want to get rid of that we might need. And all this stuff can be found on BuffaloFieldCampaign.org. And we also have a pretty cool take action page with lots of letters that you can edit and send to various decision makers, videos that you can share with friends. We do have a Facebook page, Facebook/Buffalo Wild. So visit us there and like us a bunch and share us a bunch. And yeah, I mean, there's so many people that still don't know what's happening to these animals, and the more people that hear about it and tell their friends about it, the closer we're going to be to making a really big positive difference for these sacred buffalo. They are like one of the most perfect beings on the planet. I might be biased, but buffalo need our help.
Stephanie, thank you so much for all of your incredibly important work. I've really just learned a lot more than I already knew about this subject, and I can't express to you enough just how important the work is that you and the Buffalo Field Campaign is doing. Again, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. One heck of an important issue to get involved with. Stephanie, from all of us at the Wild Clearwater Country Show, just please give our best to Mike and everyone that's working hard over there to bring justice to this tragic situation. All right, we might have Stephanie got going there. And so there you go. www.buffalofieldcampaign.org, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. The mission of the Buffalo Field Campaign is to stop the slaughter of Yellowstone's wild buffalo herd, protect the natural habitat of wild free-roaming buffalo and native wildlife, and to work with people of all nations to honor the sacredness of the wild buffalo. Let's take a short music break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap up the Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
Fireman's blind, the conductor is lame. Cincinnati jacket and a sad luck dame. Hanging out the window with a bottle full of rain. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. Sit roar, roar, the thunder and the roar. Some bitch ain't never coming back and no more. The moon in the window and the bird on the pole. We can always find a millionaire to shovel all the coal. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. Sit steam, steam, 100 bad dreams. Going up to Harlem with a pistol in his jeans. $50 bill inside a paladin's hat. And nobody's sure where Mr. Knickerbocker's at. Coming back and no more. Moon in the winter and the bird on the pole. You can always find a millionaire to shovel all the coal. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. Clap hands. I said steam, steam, 100 bad dreams. Going up to Harlem with a pistol in his jeans. $50 bill inside a paladin's hat. Nobody's sure where Mr. Knickerbocker's at.
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Got a few minutes left here in the broadcast. You can catch the Wild Clearwater Country Show every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific here on KRFP Moscow. Of course, there's plenty of volunteer and internship opportunities with Friends of the Clearwater or KRFP Moscow. So check it out, www.friendsoftheclearwater.org, www.krfp.org. And again, we'd like to express our gratitude for the efforts and the effort and the educational work and policy work that the Buffalo Field Campaign is doing. www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. You know, if there's one common denominator when you look at issues pertaining to grizzly bears or wild bison or biological recovery of gray wolves, You know, the livestock industry and cowboy politics, that's the common denominator. The Old West is still alive and kicking, and until we reform the livestock industry, until we bring changes to our policies pertaining to wildlife and public lands, we're going to continue to see just the bloodbath, really, that is today when it comes to management of these species. And of course, that's just, you know, Stephanie good, certainly brought up domestic sheep versus bighorn sheep, too. And so basically, we just have practices that are outdated and are incompatible with the majority of the values of Americans, as well as, you know, the scientific literature that we have out there. And so there's a lot of work to be done. And thank you to groups like Buffalo Field Campaign for doing that important work. So hey, let's take a look at the weather real quick here. Tonight, mostly clear with low around 52. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with low around 55. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Friday night, mostly clear with low around 52. Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, mostly clear with low around 47. Sunday, sunny with a high near 77. Sunday night, mostly clear with low around 49. And then as we look into Monday, Tuesday, sunny with a high near 76. Sunny with a high near 74. So big high pressure system sitting over the Palouse here. And again, thank you for taking time out of your day here to join the Wild Clearwater Country Show on KRFP Moscow. You can catch us every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific. And we'll certainly have some more guests here lined up, both on phone and in studio. So everyone be safe. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch you next week here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. There's more important programming here coming from your grassroots bottom-up radio station, KRFP Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
Glassphemy, a maker of hand-blown glass products next to Sam Dial on Kamiakin Street in downtown Pullman. You can find Glassphemy on Facebook or by calling 509-332-1971.
You are listening to KRFP, Moscow 92.5 FM.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Chris Tensing, editor of Middle East Report, who assesses the escalation of Syria's civil war and the threat of a wider regional conflict. Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights, who puts Army Specialist Bradley Manning's current trial for the release of classified government documents in historical perspective. And Shahid Buttar, Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, who explains why he believes the Obama Justice Department's surveillance of Associated Press reporters' phone lines directly threatens press freedom. But first, we begin with a summary of some of the week's underreported news stories.
The United Nations is expanding its anti-poverty goals to eliminate extreme poverty by 2030 and expanding its development policies to include climate change, sustainable development, and gender equality. The new global goals set by a UN panel comprised of the heads of state of Indonesia, Liberia, and Britain will replace the Millennium Development Goals.